All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Appreciate that. Appreciate your faithfulness. A couple of things before we get started. Raul and Crystal, their adoption is, I believe, complete. So now they can change his name to Steve. Let's give them a hand. Excited about that. It's been a long time coming, and they've been faithful, and appreciate them. Glad that that worked out for them. Missions Conference begins a week from tonight. And so let's make sure we're, of course, in our places, and then we'll have a special Friday service also next week, and then, of course, on Sunday. And so encourage you to be with us. We have our guys are here. Five of our guys are here. We also have Brother Russell's going to be here. We've kind of adopted him as one of our own. And then Brother Morgan is coming. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be his first church that he'll be at. And he'll be going to Japan. He may hook up with Brother Go, one of our graduates from our college who's in Japan. And so we're excited about that. Sunday is Bible Sunday. We've been promoting it. I just want to show you some of these quickly. I believe every Christian should have a nice Bible, okay? One that you use and that you get used to. And I know my frustration has been, I started out with a Schofield. Someone told me about a Schofield. I wasn't really jazzed about the notes per se, but I liked the size of it, the text, and the feel of it. But, you know, halfway through Genesis, it fell apart. Halfway through Revelation, it fell apart. I literally have my original Schofield Bible in my office, and there's tape in it, holding it together from, I think I was at work when I was in Bible college, and I got some tape that we used to tape the boxes, and I tried to tape it to keep it together. And it just did not work. And then I got to the Cambridge. How many of you know the Cambridge-Oxford one? I love that one. It falls apart, though. And many years ago, Brother Grandy was here, and he goes, I get my Bibles from, there's two of them, Church Bible Publishers, and there's another one that's Church Publishers Bible or something. They're like the same thing. They don't fall apart. I have several of them in my office. They do not fall apart. And so we have several of them, different sizes. I wanted to show you a few of them. Different layouts. Some have, you know, on the side, they're smaller. They're smaller text with paper on the side. Some are larger text. That I want to talk about in a minute. You know, you say, well, that's a little bit expensive. They're like $55 to $65. And by the way, the way we figured out the cost is how much they cost us to buy them, plus the shipping, plus the tax. That's it. We're giving them to you for what they cost us. We're not making money. And so there's different ones, and there might be one that they order. This is the one I think you bought. Joseph, did you buy? Where are you at? He left. He bought me one of these, right? I love it. He bought me a thin line Bible, and so that's solid. And then we have some more inexpensive ones of that nature. But everybody, when you come to church, you need to bring a Bible, okay? I know sometimes we walk out the door, we forget it or whatever, but that's church Bible, that should just be a natural, and your children also. And so we have opportunities for that. And then here's something. Now, you know how I feel. I don't journal, okay? Journal's for girls. You say, that's sexist. Well, call it what it is. I'm not journaling. I'm not going to cry in this thing and, you know, my cat looks sick and, the dog might be pregnant and, the flowers aren't blooming and my neighbor's voting for a liberal and I'm crying. I'm not doing that, all right? But I fought it for years, but this has helped me. I love this to pieces. It is they call it a sermon notebook, but I use it for, like, devotions. I use it extensively for devotions, blessings, each and every day. And I think it's like $25. I've had it since January, and it'll last me for probably over 2 years. It has that many pages in it. And I take notes. I write a blessing for the day. I write notes in there, and then I talk about my cat. Okay, so that's important. I have some cheaper ones in my office, and I've been giving them to teenagers who have come by, and like, you'll use it for your devotions and take notes in church, I'll give you one. So I'll probably have a line outside my door now. I probably have about 19 more. But I do think that's important. I just think the discipline of sitting down and thinking about what you read and kind of verbalizing it, I think that will help you. And so we'll have a lot of these on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Get a good Bible. Make sure your children have a good Bible. They probably don't need a $70 Bible, okay? They probably need one of the $10 Bibles we have because, you know, they might lose it. But enough of that. Our lesson tonight, as we get back into it, we're almost done with this fairly soon, and we're going to get into our discipleship book that we've started, and we're going to go through that in church. But we're looking at the discipleship, the dynamics of the disciple. We've been looking at requirements. We'll finish one tonight. I didn't have time last week. I got a little stuck on a couple points, and so I just want to make sure I finish it up, and then we'll start on another one, and we'll finish it within a few weeks. One of the requirements to be the disciple that God wants us to be is the requirement of longevity. You can call it faithfulness. I like the Bible word, which is continue. And they continued in the faith and all these different things. Because to be honest with you, that's just not common, unfortunately, in the vast majority of those who call themselves and claim to be Christians. We looked at that. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Not to just be content with being saved, but to continue, to grow in your faith, to go forward, that type of thing. We talked, and we're finishing up, what should we be faithful to? We talked about church services, personal devotions, serving others, financial giving, soul winning. I believe we touched on spiritual growth. We may have touched on this, but I just want to finish up the last two before we move on. So if you don't have your, if you look in your thing, you have notes. Next, fellow believers. Fellow believers. We need to be faithful to and continue to have a solid relationship with other Christians. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, and fellowship, okay, being together with God's people. Amen. It is vitally important. Amen. That's why when this whole thing came down with COVID and, you know, church wasn't essential, they just don't understand it. And by the way, as our society looks at this lockdown we've been on and people not being able to be together, suicide. I heard a statistic in one state. I forget what state it was. The suicide rate this year is up 90%. Marinate on that for a while. You know, just all of it, depression and all these things. We were made to be social people. Regardless of the fact that our governor doesn't even want us to spend Thanksgiving together. Maybe he doesn't want to be with his family and they don't want to be with him. That's his business. But it's just... we need people. Yeah. We especially need each other as Christians. Yep. A key part of the growth of the early church was the strength of the early believers. Look at Rome. We know this well. Hebrews 10:25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, we're good at provoking people, right? Yeah. But just keep reading the verse. Don't stop at that. Love and good works. That happens at church. If you've ever been discouraged, it's encouraging to come to church and be around Christians. Amen. Just talking, fellowshipping, and just like, you know what? Things maybe aren't as bad as they seem to be. Not forsaking, verse 25, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We need to encourage one another. Yeah. By the way, there's enough discouragement. And I don't mean to be discouraging when I say things up here. And maybe sometimes it comes across like that. And that's not my intention, but I do have to tell you the truth. But we need encouragement. You know, if someone comes and says, hey, I'm going through a situation, it's pretty nice when you can say, you know what, let me pray for you about that. Let me encourage you. Notes and so forth and stuff. And that comes from Christians to Christians. It's very important we're a part of that. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And boy, the day is approaching, isn't it? Fellowship amongst Christians is vital. I think you have a blank there. Especially as the world gets worse and attacks against the Christian faith grow. How discouraging it would be just to constantly watch the news. And I don't do that, by the way. What I get is bits and pieces from sources I trust, and I look at both sides. Sources I trust, and I don't marinate on it, and I don't do it all the time because I want to have a good spirit. It's been hard the last few weeks. By the way, watch my video I put out, and you'll kind of get where I stand here, okay? And I've not been trying to just, you know, I mean to be encouraging, but the rails of the train just keep getting thrown. We have till Tuesday, and I think we need to know where we stand and what we should be doing. I think Christians are too vague. Okay? We can't be vague. It's not an overstatement. And by the way, the left is saying it too, to say this is probably the most important election in the life of our country. If this country starts to go socialist, the first people who are going to suffer are Christians. The first folks they're going to come after is Christianity. Right? And you can, I don't like to be political, but I'm sorry, that's Biden and Harris all the way. That's the left all the way. By the way, they don't hide it. And so, but you'll get a lot more encouragement next Thursday, I hope. But you know, listen, being realistic doesn't mean we can't be encouraging, because we do everything we do as long as we can do it. But hey, if things don't turn out our way, we're still saved. God's still on our side. We're going to be okay. It's just going to be a little tougher. But again, encouragement one-to-one. People come from work and they're down. Maybe you had a rough week or a rough day. It's nice to be at church and get encouragement. By the way, what typically happens is someone gets a little discouraged or down and has a rough day, and they stay home from church. Yeah. That's not good. No. I remember one time, it was something I was going through, and I was trying, my wife knew, and we were just, and one of our church members came in, and I didn't say anything, and he didn't know anything, and he kind of figured something out, like, man, and he just started saying good things. And I'm like, wait a minute, I work here, not you. It's my job to be encouraging to you. But he was an encouragement to me. And by the way, a lot of you have been encouragement. Get notes and so forth and praying for you. And people text, hey, I'm praying for you again today. And that's an encouragement. And I pray for you and we pray for each other. That's an encouragement. You're not going to get that anywhere else but church. And so we need to encourage one another. We need to be together. It's very important. But there's more to it than that. Fellowship is more than just hanging around together. And by the way, believe it or not, most of you, Jerry, most of them, I like hanging around. As I mentioned, I missed our summer Monday dinners with different groups in the church. There's no Bible study. There's no prayer request unless you ask me for one. It's just we go out to eat together. Hanging at my house on Friday night. You could have met my cat. My daughter brought a cat home. Best pet we've ever had. He stays away from me. Doesn't cause any issues and goes potty where he's supposed to. Love him to pieces. As long as we, you know, there's a gap there, we're all good. But he wanted to meet you this Friday. But we couldn't do it this year. But I like hanging around you. But there's more than just hanging around. Look at your little bullet there. Fellowship is based on shared beliefs, values, and direction. That's why I like being around Christians. You know why? We believe the same thing. We have the same beliefs. Our values are the same. We're trying to go the same direction. We're trying to accomplish the same thing in life. And so the relationship we can have with one another is deeper than we can have with people that maybe don't know the Lord. Because we have that spiritual foundation that we share in common. And so fellowship encourages the continual practice of those beliefs, values, and direction. That's why a Christian that's not faithful to church is going to struggle. They have disconnected themselves from another form of encouragement. Now, I'm all about the Bible, and I'm all about prayer. But let me just tell you something. I've met people that says, I don't need church. I don't need people, just me, Jesus, and the Bible. I've not met any of them that panned out. That's not a biblical concept. And by the way, if you're strong with you, Jesus, and the Bible, why don't you come encourage somebody else who's not strong? See? And that's what we do. And I hope you appreciate that. I hope you appreciate that we got good people in the church that at the drop of a hat will be there for you. If you have a prayer need, they will pray for you each and every day. That's encouraging. And that's greater than anything anybody else can do. You've been around people. I've been in places. I've worked in the world where someone's experienced a tragedy and you see these unsaved people and they try to be kind. They try to be good and do things for them, but they don't have anything to give them. They can't, and it's not their fault. They're not saved. They can't really give them a hope because they don't have the hope of Christ in themselves. We have that. And we can encourage one another. So fellowship is very, very important. Next, another way we're supposed to continue is in righteous living. Righteous living. You can call it holiness. You can call it whatever you want. Righteous living. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It's actually 5:17, I'm sorry. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, we've all been creatures, now we're new creatures, okay? So there you go. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I understand that when we got saved, our eternal destination, our eternal home, thankfully, was changed. I hate heat. I mean, I love air conditioning. Okay, so hell really does not resonate with me. But hell's way worse than that. Hell's horrible. And as much as I have a hard time, sometimes people are like, well, that person died and they were godless and they're getting what they deserve. Have we thought about how horrible hell is? I mean, it's like, I don't know, forever. They're never getting out. That's where you and I were going. That was our future. But we got saved. I remember, I didn't understand it all, Brother Romero. I didn't understand it. And I got saved, and God had been dealing with me. And I went to church that Sunday, and I walked the aisle. He didn't have to explain very much to me, Brother John. I already knew I needed to be saved. And he gave me the Romans road. I'm like, I get it. Just let's go. I already know what I got to do. And I got saved. And I know that I tell people, when you get saved, it's not a feeling. But I felt pretty good when I went home. I knew something was different. And you don't have to feel good. Some people just register. Okay, deal's done. I know it. Trusted in Christ. It's all over. Okay, good for you. I felt great. Because I realized what happened. But you know what? Something way better happened to you also. Okay, you're not just a new home, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Well, wait a minute, if old things are passed away, why do some people still get caught up in them? Because they choose to, not because they have to. I mean, it gets really good. It's not like you have to wait, you know, if you get saved when, say, you're 10, 15. You have to wait 50 years before you get it. Struggle on, brother. No, it's good now. God wants to change your life now. The sin that once was taking me to hell is taken care of, but the sin could wreck my life now. God says I can have victory over that because old things are passed away. There were a lot of old things in my life, and I'm glad they're gone. You perfect? No. But a lot of the nonsense is gone. I still have my struggles, but it's not the same ones I had. It's not the same life-destroying, potentially life, you know, altering for bad consequences. That's gone. Behold, all things are become new. Remember, I had to catch this because Pastor Esposito told me, and it was true, but I didn't understand it. When he was taking me around trying to witness me before I came to church and got saved, he's like, now, when you get saved, Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and he's going to change you. So I got saved. I went home, and I slept, and I thought, okay, now, when's this change going to happen? And I was waiting for it. Like, okay. And I felt, for a few days, it wasn't spooky, but I was like, what's going on here? Am I supposed to feel something? Or, you know, pastor? He wasn't pastor then. He was Joe. Joe said. And he was right. I didn't understand the details of it. And everything was kind of like, until I went to my friend's house and I found out something. The old things may have passed away, but I went to where they were hanging out. And I struggled. I didn't realize until later that the Holy Spirit changes me, but I got to want to change. I got to decide that I want to have that new life. I'm a new person, but I can still choose to live an old way. You can clean a pig up, but the pig can still go straight back to the mud. And so now we're a new person. Do you have bullets there? Yes, when we trusted Christ, we became a completely new person. Now we have to appropriate it. How do we appropriate it? We put on the new man, Colossians, and we take off the old man. Okay? It's like you have dirty clothes on. What do? You go home, you take off the dirty clothes, you get cleaned up, you put the new clothes on. And if you choose to stay in dirty clothes, you're going to continue to be dirty. But that's not God's plan. God wants us to live righteous lives. And he has made us a new person, which makes it possible for us to be new in Christ. What happens when we become a new person? Well, being a new person means that we will live a new way. If I am new, I'm going to live new. And it will be abundantly evident to everyone who sees you.
Right.
My mom did not have to figure out when I got right with God. She saw the evidence. Stuff like, I was home on Friday night. Stuff like, I didn't come back home late. In a very bad place. She went to my room. And I had all this garbage on my walls. It's like, it was all gone. Cleaned it out. Amen. Took all my albums. Say, what is an album? Think of it as a big black disc that holds MP3s. I had hundreds. I threw them all out. I remember not long after that, I was going to church and I brought her with me. I still didn't know how to witness. A couple weeks after I started, the pastor's wife came by. They were having soul winning or something. And I happened to be home and my mom was there. And she came in and witnessed to my mom and I was there. My mom got saved. But I remember what my mom told Mrs. Black when she was witnessing to her. She goes, I don't know what happened, but there is something drastically different about this kid. Now, I was still as handsome as I always was. I mean, you know, that works. But you know why? I just decided I wanted to be what God wanted me to be, and I started appropriating or putting on the new man. Amen. I quit rejecting it. And the things that, habits and sinful things that I couldn't have stopped before, now that I was right with God, I was able to stop them. Because the Spirit of God was working through me. Not that I was any super Christian. I mean, before I just couldn't do it because I was so out there in left field. But now, the Spirit of God, I'm a new man. He's like, now you have the power to make this happen. It was very exciting. I wish I would have stayed like that. No, kidding. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse, I think it's 22 to 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation means manner of life. The old man, that's not the guy you're married to, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. He says, take that old man off. See, here's the thing we have to understand. We have a lot of responsibility when it comes to living right.
Amen.
God's Spirit indwells inside of us. He gives us the power to do right, but he will never, ever do it unless we are seeking to live right. I heard someone once say, it's God helps them who help themselves. And his whole point was, you're waiting for God to change you, and you're not doing anything to change. You're not giving God anything to work with.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Put off the old man, The old lifestyle, which is corrupt. Why is our old lifestyle corrupt? That old things that passed away. According to the deceitful lust, the lying desires that dwelled inside of us, that flesh. Now, by the way, we still fight it. Can I get an amen right there? Okay, that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter something. The things that I don't want to do, I do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. And I read that section of scriptures and I just stand up, amen. That yes, I get it. It's a struggle, okay? But we can do it. That's the old life. It's not, the flesh still fights us, but it does not have to have the strength it had before. Because the spirit. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded is death. That's also somewhere in Romans. You see? But now, an unsaved person, they may toe the line in some areas, but they're never going to have complete victory over the flesh because they're not saved. The flesh is strong. The fact of the matter is, a lot of the things the flesh will do, they don't even think it's wrong. And I get it. They're not saved. Totally comprehend that. But not so for us, brethren. We ought to understand that. And verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We understand all that. I'm not going to go over it again. It's in Romans. You renew your mind, your actions are going to change. No wonder I struggled. I was listening to garbage. I was hanging around. I was hanging around with some friends that did not know the Lord. I was listening and watching garbage and all that, and it just came out in my life. But you know what? When I realized I wanted to put on the new man, I started reading my Bible, started praying. I started trying to live right. I started trying to put on some of these qualities, and the Spirit of God was able to work in my life. Yeah. But it started as I changed my mind. Man, before on Friday nights, my friends, we're all hanging out looking for each other. They're coming to my house on Friday night. Like, we didn't have cell phones or text or any of that for those of you. That's when the dinosaurs roamed the land. But they come by my house like, where have you been? We haven't seen you in a month. Like, I'm a Christian. A girl called me that I went out with for a while and hadn't seen her in 2 years. She called, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, oh boy. I'm saved now. Well, she got quiet fast. I'm going to church. She's like, oh, okay, just checking on you. Got to go. I'm like, yes, you do, sweetheart. You got to go. I wasn't mean. And they always called me. That's a curse I live with. Verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brethren, we have to get to the point where we quit listening to the world and thinking righteousness is a bad word. Righteousness is just being right. Yep. It's living right. Amen. It's not goody two-shoes. It's not taking away your fun. It's not living in the past. It's living in the present the way God always intended us to. Yes. And so that's what we have to put on. The new man is created in righteousness. And so if we're going to continue, we have to live righteously. The new way we live is the righteous way, which is holiness. Holiness, that which is true and right and set apart to God. God wants us to live righteous, and that should not just be dependent on how I feel or present circumstances. And let me get this, just because we try, just because we put on the new man, the old man's always there trying to kick the new man out. But you know what? We don't have to give in. Come on. By the way, if you're struggling with any sin, let me encourage you tonight. You don't need to give in. You do not need to get stuck and continue in the path in which you're going. If you're saved, you can have victory. And by the way, let me put it this way. If you're saved, you ought to have victory. You know, I hate to lose. I'm not a poor loser. I just hate it. When I coached, I hated to lose. And it was inevitable. It was going to happen once every 4 years. Just kidding. But I especially hated to lose when I knew we were the better team. The first year I coached football, first time I ever coached football, we went up and played Lancaster, and they were like the cream of the crop. By the way, we had more talent than them. We were a better team. At halftime, we were beating them like 36 to 12. But something happened in the second half. They killed us. The reason wasn't, and they beat us that whole year. The reason wasn't that they were better than us. I just didn't know what I was doing yet. And it killed me. Now, if they beat us and I'm like, you're just a better team, I feel okay about that. I hate to admit that, but I do feel okay. I hate losing when I should win. Why in the world would we want to live, and I understand what I'm saying, a losing Christian life when we don't have to?
Come on.
Man, faith is a victory.
Yes.
We are overcomers. We can live in such a way that we're not perfect. Things aren't always perfect. But man, we can look at our life and say, you know what? I mean, yeah, I have my struggles and yeah, but it's pretty good. Amen. For the most part, I'm kind of doing the right thing. Not in a proud way. Please understand what I'm saying. But you can look at it and say, I'm going the right direction. Sometimes I may get a little deviated, but I'm trying to go the right direction. Let's not lose when we don't have to. Let's become the righteous individual. I heard this story. A young lady wanted to join a church. One of the deacons asked, it's always a deacon, isn't it? Were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, sir, she replied. The deacon says, well, are you still a sinner? She said, to tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever. He questioned, then, what real change have you experienced? And here's what she said. She goes, I don't know how to explain it. I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I am saved, I'm a sinner running from sin. It's funny. The more we grow, the worse we see sin, the greater we think we're a sinner. In other words, we may not do as many of the things we used to do, but when we do things bad, we feel worse about it because we understand how bad sin is. By the way, that's not bad. That's a good thing. That's not to condemn you. That's just, you know what? You're getting an understanding of what God wants and understand during those times it's His grace and we're growing and we're going forward. Someone once asked Charles Spurgeon, if I believed what you preach about eternal security, the belief that once you're saved, you're always saved, I would sin as much as I wanted to. Spurgeon replied, I sin more than I want to. Too many Christians struggle with sin. Now, all of us fight it. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a difference. Don't hold me to task on this. Understand what I'm saying. I think there's a difference between, fighting sin and struggling with sin. Right? We fight sin. Sometimes it gets a couple good shots in on us. But that's different than struggling. When we struggle, that means we're giving in a lot more than we're getting victorious.
Amen.
That should not be. And I'm not trying to condemn us. I'm just saying if we'll just seek to put on the new man, okay, created in righteousness. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, by the way. You don't do this on your own. You understand that? See, that's where the victory comes from. We read it when we were meeting inside, or I don't know when, but in John chapter 16, where he talks about the Spirit of God, and he brings into remembrance the Word of God that we knew, and he convicts us of sin. He works in our life. And so because we're saved and the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, we can live right, we can be different. But we have to want to live right, we have to want to be different. And we need to quit buying the lies of Satan when you do wrong. And I've dealt with many people, and they'll do something wrong. They'll just say, you know, I got this reputation, or I got this thing, and I'm just struggling with this. And it's kind of, that's Satan, by the way, because he's trying to keep you down.
Yes, sir.
Instead of you just saying, that was wrong, I ain't doing that. With God's grace, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get forgiveness, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to strive to put on the new man and take off the old man and do the things I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
You can do that. Look at the little statement there, and we'll finish. We didn't go as far as I thought, but it's all good. An inconsistently righteous Christian is not a victorious Christian. There's many things that we need to understand about being a victorious Christian. But if you want to figure it out, victorious means we're living a victorious life on this earth, and part of that is seen in the way we live. Okay? I'm not saying you're going to walk on water. But there ought to be a difference. If someone came up like you're, and they knew you're a Christian, or you told me you're a Christian, I hope they wouldn't have something to hold against you. Like, wait a minute, you're a Christian? Not that we do it for that. I'm just saying, we can be different. And if we continue in the faith, we have to understand we're going to have to live different. Because if we don't put on the new man and we're constantly flirting with the old man, there is no way we're going to be serving God 5, 10, 15 years down the road. I'm sorry. You can blame it on whoever you want. You can blame it on whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is you haven't desired to live right. You've not put on the new man. You've not made available. You've not taken advantage of the resources God has given you to try to live a Christian life. Let's stand together. We'll stop there. It's 20 o'clock, so we're good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. We have a good people here to come out on a Thursday night. And I pray you just help us, Lord, to continue. Father, it's important not just that we're here now, but that we are serving you victoriously, correctly, and righteously 10, 15, 20 years from now. We need that for ourselves. We need that for our church. We need that for our families. I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. Bless us now until we meet together on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.